My name is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. Last June, a Toronto Metropolitan University nursing student graduated after 6 years due to having a rare autoimmune liver condition. Afsanya Laliani had primary sclerosing cholangitis. The Canadian Liver Foundation describes the symptoms as the bile ducts, small tubes through which bile flows from the liver to the gallbladder and intestines, progressively decreases in size due to inflammation and scarring. After receiving a living donor for a liver through social media last year, she's been helping others do the same. In this interview, we go over how she found the donor, what it took to get through recovery, and why she chose to go on to be a nurse. Okay, so would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name's Afsanya Laliani, and I went to TMU for nursing, and I graduated this June after doing my degree for approximately 6 years because I had to take a bit longer than I intended on at first because of my health, but I finally graduated.
Speaking of having to take that bit of extra time, what's, I guess, miraculous about your story is that you actually got a living liver transplant. Is that correct?
Yes.
If you don't mind me asking, if you don't mind explaining, what exactly was your health issue?
So when I was approximately 16 years old, I was diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune liver condition that has no cure called primary sclerosing cholangitis. And at first it was mild and I only had a little bit of symptoms here or there, but as I got older and went to university and started, you know, focusing on my future career, I got sicker and sicker because it's a progressive disease. And that eventually ended up leading me to needing a liver transplant because my liver completely failed. Unfortunately, I didn't have anyone in my family or close circle that is a blood type match for me. And so I had to look elsewhere for a donor that was living. And that's when I kind of directed myself towards social media because I haven't really found a place better suited to get that broad, wide reach of your story out there in a fast way. So I did that and I created a campaign on Facebook, just calling to action that I needed a donor and sharing my story. My story ended up getting picked up by multiple other media outlets and became so viral that I did find a donor in the end.
I guess, when did, I guess, health complications begin to affect your post-secondary education?
I noticed my symptoms getting way worse right off the bat in first year of my studies, and it got worse as I continued, especially during exam season when I was stressed. I would notice that my symptoms would be worse and I would get a bit of an infection in my liver or something would come up during those stressful points in my academics.
So were there semesters and or years where you just weren't able to continue your studies because of these flare-ups?
Yes. I took a semester off during second year, and that was mainly because I was very sick and I needed a specific treatment that required me to be at the hospital at least 3 times a week and for a very long period of time with exhaustion and a bunch of other side effects afterwards, to the point where I didn't have that time to study anymore or to really focus on studying and what I was learning in classes because I always had to miss class for those treatments. It was basically impossible.
And during that period of time, if you don't mind me asking, how did that make you feel knowing that you were, I guess, impeded because of your health condition?
Well, I was very driven towards my goal of becoming a nurse, no matter how sick I was or how hard my program was while juggling such a vigorous disease. I continued through the program until I had no choice but to hit pause. And when I did finally cave, I was a little bit sad about it. And I felt like I was a failure, that I couldn't really reach my goals. And my health was so bad to the point where it was now affecting my wishes and wants in life. So that really, really disheartened me. It was a big setback for me mentally, to the point where I eventually quit that treatment and went back to school because I couldn't only live for my health. I had to live for myself too.
Taking that big leap of faith there, were you scared at all?
Oh yeah, I was very scared throughout the whole journey, but because I had so many people supporting me and standing behind me, helping me, I felt a little bit more at ease about doing that. Like my family, especially my parents and my sisters and my friends in school, my professors, even the dean at that time was great and really super understanding about my situation and encouraged me to take that break for my health and focus on my health, make that the priority here instead of my academics, because it's something I can always go back to once I'm better. I finally agreed with them all and took that leap, knowing I had all that support when I needed it.
And you graduated in June from TMU through the nursing program. So what drew you to nursing?
Well, it's a funny story because throughout my entire high school life, I said I didn't want to be like my mom. My mom is a nurse practitioner. And so I didn't want to follow in her footsteps career-wise, but that's exactly what I ended up doing. I think that a big part of why I did choose to do that is I grew up in a hospital. I was a hospital baby since I was 15 months old with a different autoimmune condition. And that continued throughout my childhood to the point where the hospital became my second home. I loved going there. I'd wear my Halloween costume there when I was younger. And I genuinely believed that my doctors and nurses were my friends. So I was excited to go. That gave me hope. But I also had that feeling that when I experienced a good nurse, I wanted to be that nurse for someone else because I've also experienced a not so good nurse. How I felt during those moments made me feel like I didn't want anyone else to ever experience that again. And I wanted to be that nurse for them in a better light.
And now that you're graduated, it's been around 2 months. So what are you up to now?
Well, I'm currently studying again because now that I've graduated, I still have to write my licensed exam to become a registered nurse. And that means I would have to write the NCLEX exam. And I'm planning on writing it in October or late September. Hopefully I pass and then I can start practicing and get a job.
Do you feel mentally ready to be a nurse?
Yes, I'm very eager to be a nurse and I've felt ready for a long time now, especially with my experiences with my health. I feel like I have a very wide breadth and specialized amount of knowledge and experience in this area that I can really bring to the field, really, and to help others in the end, ultimately.
So I want to rewind just a tiny bit. Take me back to the day that you found out that you found a donor for a liver transplant. Take me back to that day and what was going through your mind.
I felt a sense of relief that the wait was over because I did wait 9 months to find my donor. And I was losing a little bit of hope throughout those months. So when I did get that call, I felt relieved to know that I was going to be okay. But I was also very nervous and scared to go through such a intense traumatic surgery and have to go through a recovery for that. No one should have to go through surgery or health complications, health impact, disease, and illness. It's just how this world is. I knew that. And I knew that doing this meant I could get on with my life afterwards. And that I was excited for. So it was a wide and very big mix of emotions that I didn't know how to kind of deconstruct at that time.
And what were you doing before you got that call?
I think I was walking home, actually, and I was going to go check my mailbox. And I got the call right when I reached my mailbox. And as the lady on the phone was telling me these things, I was unlocking my mailbox to find the package that they sent for me to prepare for the surgery and all the information I would need going into it. Hearing it on the phone, opening the package at the same time, it was almost like Christmas morning, I would say. I was feeling excited and that I wanted to quickly get off the phone so I could go call my mom. She's my number one support person and cheerleader in my life. And so when good things happen, I always give her a call and let her know. So I was excited to tell her.
Well, how did your mom react to finding out about this?
She was very calm. I think she was also relieved that, you know, there was a light at the end of the tunnel here coming now. She knew that there was a lot to do to prepare for the surgery and for the recovery, as it was a long time. That stressed her out a little bit, I think, that there was lots to do. And I was so sick at that point where I needed help to do some of those things. So she had to come stay with me for a little bit. At my apartment, and we had to organize all of these accommodations and like medical wishes that I want in the event that something does happen. And those are scary conversations to have with a mother and a daughter. And so she was definitely scared when we knew that this was real and this was happening.
Did you ever meet your donor before the surgery?
No, I've not met her in person at all yet, actually. When I went through the surgery, I didn't know who she was at all. And she chose to be anonymous at that time. So I wasn't allowed to know anything about her or how she was doing. It wasn't until a couple months after my surgery that I did find out who she was and her identity was revealed to me. And we started connecting via email back and forth about each other's journeys throughout the transplant. And we really connected and bonded. So we're hoping to have an in-person meetup soon together so that we can chat more.
When did these emails start? When exactly did you find out?
I found out this past December, actually, and it's been an amazing couple of months getting to know her.
How long ago was the surgery?
The surgery was in November of 2021, so it's been a year and a half, approximately.
In that year and a half, how has the recovery been?
I'm not going to lie, the first month was very rough, and I did go through a lot of health complications during that time, and I stayed in the hospital for that entire month as I went through a little bit of organ rejection, but it was treated and managed really quickly since I was already in the hospital, and I was able to get over that. And once I was better after that 1 month, I was discharged back to my apartment. Then I continued my recovery. But once I hit the 3 month mark, a lot of the physical activities got better and easier to do because I had to teach myself how to walk again at first. So everything I did became hard, and I had to work on my physical strength and endurance and all of that, like recovery training, basically. And then they say it's a 6 month to 1 year recovery. So once I hit the 6 month, they were able to get rid of some of the medications I was on. And that really improved how I lived day to day. So I would say after the 6 month mark, my life became a lot easier and better in my recovery, to the point where I would probably say that I was recovered, even though I wasn't fully recovered at that time.
After all of this and graduating, and now you're preparing for these exams, these tests, and to become a registered nurse, is there like a specialization you're looking for or towards when you become a registered nurse?
I am thinking of a specific specialization. I am very passionate about working with kids, so I'm hoping to go in the pediatric direction. But I also learned that I am passionate about palliative care. And so I'm hoping to combine both of those and do pediatric palliative care.
So this has been a very long journey for you, I can imagine. Now that you're finished up the portion of this journey of health and recovery, how has your outlook on the medical field and life changed?
It's changed a lot. I think that I went through a very roller coaster thought process and feelings towards the medical system throughout my health journey. And at first, I loved healthcare and it was my purpose in life, my go-to direction and understanding about the world all made sense in healthcare to me. But then as I got sicker and as I was waiting for a transplant and trusting the health system that something would be found for me and I would survive this, I didn't know if that is true anymore. Like I said, I lost hope a little bit. And I think that hope was lost for the health system. So I wasn't as passionate about it at that time. I was going through so much physically and all the trauma to my body at that time. I couldn't rationalize how all of my pain and suffering was okay, and the health system was okay for that, for doing that to me. I know that it's a very flawed thinking now, looking back, now that I have gained that hope back and that trust in the system back. I am passionate about the health system again, and I'm so happy to be a part of it now too.
Okay, so that's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Right now, I've been working as a campaign manager where I'm trying to give back to the transplant system, and in a way that I know and in a familiar way where I can apply my lived experience and skills. So I create these social media campaigns just like I did for myself, but now I do it for others in need of a liver transplant and don't have a donor match. So I create these pleas on Facebook and I post about a patient with their consent, and we work on this campaign together until they do find that donor. And I feel like this role that I've taken on is so fulfilling to do, and I love giving back in this way, in such an important way too.